heading into the NFL season and college for that matter, coaches on the hot seat. Worth a discussion, Pearl, because we could talk about the Mike McCarthys and the Billy Napiers if you want to go to college, but you have an under-the-radar coach who is not on the hot seat this season, but you think is not going to get the amount of time to really set their program, if you will, without escaping major criticism if they don't turn it around.
So Sean Payton is a great coach. He's probably going to make the Hall of Fame for what he did with New Orleans, because it's not like Mike McCarthy, who won one with Aaron Rodgers. He took New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina and won one of the most famous Super Bowls, most dramatic Super Bowls ever. I think that alone gets them Hall of Fame. He's a great coach. He was, and also, unlike McCarthy, the team was really close a couple more times. McCarthy had some good records, but Sean Payton's a Hall of Fame coach. This is not going to work in Denver. He's the highest paid coach in all of sports. He has the worst roster in the NFL, according to PFF. They're over under his 5.5 wins. He's already falling down these coaching rankings like crazy. He went from 2 in CBSSports.com to 16 or something this year. I tell you, if he's 5-12, the sky will, 5-11, what's the number here?
Yeah, 5-12.
5-12. The sky will be falling in Denver, and people are going to say, what is the matter? Nobody is patient. It's 2024. It's not 1994. Maggie, it is going to be a dumpster fire if they're bad, and I think everyone's ignoring this fact, and even Sean Payton himself, he's talking very confidently in Denver about it. He said that we had a great draft, even though they didn't have a lot of high picks. I just think that we're being naive here. It's, people are so quick to judge in today's NFL world. There's so much hype. There's so much attention on every team. If they lose, I think it's going to be really bad. He tends to get defensive in those situations. There's not a five-year plan. That doesn't exist anymore.
Well, they did have one high pick. I mean, Bo Nix, like, and that's, I think, what this all rests on. Like, you're right. This would be the second person who would go to Denver, Russell Wilson being right before him, who's legacy kind of materially changed after being there and failing there in a very short amount of time. I think if Sean Payton can get Bo Nix on the right track, if he can show I chose right, there were 6 quarterbacks in the first round, I thought that this player was worthy of one of those picks, and I'm going to make him the future of the program, then I think he's going to be hailed as the conquering hero, even if they never win, right? Because you do have Mahomes in the same division. You do have a lot of other, AFC is crazy with quarterbacks. Like, I don't know if the standard is necessarily he must win again, but if he develops Bo Nix, I think that he's going to be fine. Now, the question is, can you do that? Are you going to be able to do that with a roster that's not very good?
Well, even if he's, you know, you talked about CJ Stroud and a possible sophomore jinx. I think there are a lot of quarterbacks we were like, okay, maybe something there. Like Justin Fields, I think there was something there. I don't know. Like a positive trajectory with Bo Nix weeks 12 through 18. To me, that's not enough.
Really? You don't think him going in the right direction would
if they end up, if they hit their win total and they are 5-12, even if Bo Nix looks okay, I mean, I don't know. I'm dubious. And by the way, they lost their second round pick year this year.
That was for Peyton. Wasn't that part of the Peyton trade? It was a first round pick and a second round pick, I thought. Was
no,
it?
For Russell, you mean?
I mean Russell, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. Peyton, you got Peyton Manning
Peyton
on the mind.
And Russell Wilson.
But look at their, like, they have not hit on any other big draft picks. I mean, there's just not. Who are the young players? There's a lot of maybes. Like Marvin Mims last year was an exciting rookie wide receiver.
Yeah.
He had 377 yards in 16 games. Like, this is not, they just have not had their guys. They just don't, it's really, I don't know. I feel like they're in a hole. And I feel like as great as Sean Payton is, I mean, he's really going to have to pull a rabbit out of his hat here. Maybe he can do it. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a great offensive play caller. I think last year he did not know what he was getting into with Russell Wilson. I think he was probably a little overconfident. I think he's just in the wrong spot. I think he should have taken another job.
It was Sean Payton, the other pick. So it was a first-round pick in 2023 and a second-round pick. Yeah, that's why Denver didn't have the pick this year because they traded to New Orleans for Sean Payton. That's the type of investment that was made in this coach.
Was the Russell Wilson trade?
Those are all those picks I think are already accounted for in Seattle. But here's the thing about did he take the wrong job? You know, he openly said he wanted to go to a place where he could golf. So whether that's just a funny folksy line or not, I'm not sure. you know, yeah, you could play the what if game. What if he had actually gone to Dallas? What if he had gone to Miami, you know, with that rumor that he and Tom Brady were going to be in Miami together? And that would have been something very interesting. Mm. Was this just the wrong fit with a new owner who might not know what they're doing and a general manager that I think had a lot of respect on the inside, but I can't imagine the fans are very impressed with what George Payton has done. So, you know,
we have a lot of Paytons in this,
conversation, but I think Sean Payton made also one critical error. Only spending 1 year away when his buzz was growing. Uh-huh. Like, he's still a young enough guy where I think he could have spent another year out. Remember how Gruden was gone for, like, what, 5 years doing Monday Night Football?
Yeah, it felt like even longer.
Even longer? Yeah. And not that Sean Payton had to go away for that long, but I think, I don't know if you're, like, I'm kind of agreeing with you, just whether it was Denver or maybe any team jumping back in after just a year, well, was that the right move, or could he have just stayed in the media for even longer and really waited for something good to come along?
Well, except that the money with Denver was all time.
That only would have grown, I think, the longer he was out.
He's the highest paid coach in all of sports.
And again, this is just like these quarterback contracts.
So you're saying there'd be a bigger gap? I mean, 5 years, $18 million a year. Once Belichick retired, that became number one.
I know, but this is just like quarterback contracts and wide receiver contracts. Don't you think for the guys who are proven, it just goes up and up and up? We saw this in the NBA. All of a sudden, you know, Steve Kerr gets paid, then Eric Spoelstra gets paid more. Then that just keeps happening.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I just think that he had already built enough demand in 1 year to become the highest paid coach. Like, you can't go up from number one. So maybe he gets marginally more. I think the money was, I think he did build that buzz because he was pretty good on TV too. I think he achieved what he wanted. I see what you're saying. I thought you were going to say, like, he needed more rest to sort of recharge his batteries. That's not necessarily what you're getting at, because he seems to be full of pith and vinegar still. He still gets mad at the media. He's still a little ornery.
Yeah.
He's still, like, really engaged. He's actually incredibly optimistic. And I've watched some of his press conference and bright-eyed about this team and excited about the young guys. But I don't know. It's more a function of this day and age, 2024. Like, I feel like we've moved up the timeline so fast. Like, you got to hit immediately in everything or people will move on.
Which is funny. We're talking about Sean Payton with the Broncos and whether he's going to get actual time to maybe turn around this franchise, or are the Sharks going to be coming for him if he has a 5-win season? What's interesting about that is, who are the people who are ultimately making these decisions on whether a head coach stays or goes?
The owner, in this case, right.
Yeah, the owner. These are, like, supposed to be the older, wiser people, right? Like, these are the guys who are impetuous. These are the ones who are listening to the media and the fans. They're supposed to be the wise people who sort of see the long game and the forest through the trees, right? And that clearly doesn't happen.
You know, maybe, and this could be a mistake, I think the media will turn on Sean Payton too if he loses. I mean, the media, and does that matter? I think, like, the national media loves Sean Payton right now. He's a lot of friends in the media. He was in the media last year. He's rightfully very well respected. I feel like they would kill him if he was 4-13.
Well, I don't know if it's about that.
It might not matter, but I think that would be a big thing.
I think things that I criticize him for last year was he came in real hot talking about how Nathaniel Hackett was the worst coach in the history of the game. He came in real hot and then had to walk it back and say, sorry, I just had drank too much coffee that morning and I was a little latte defense, as I would say. And then, you know, starting the season with an onside kick, like trying to be cute about bringing back the glory moment from the Super Bowl with Drew Brees, like how he started the second half. I didn't love that. And I think you can tell he's kind of doing a different tone this year, because I've seen those same things. I'm excited about the young guys. I love this team. And to be honest, I think him talking up this team so much and how he loves these young guys is like a direct hit on Russell Wilson. Like, he's not saying it, but he's saying it, that I think he likes this team better without Russ. And that, to me, like, just seems a little, if that's indeed what's behind it, feels a little small.
But tell me if you agree with this. The bottom line is, all those things that you criticized him for last year, if he'd come out and been 10-7, then nobody would have
deaf ears.
It falls on deaf ears. It's a bottom line game. It's a win and loss game, regardless of what his attitude is. man, if you're a head coach and you're getting paid a ton of money and you lose, then people don't look at the timeline. Yeah, the other thing, he does do a few Sean Payton things. People have been grilling him about the quarterback competition, and there was one, somebody asked a question about I think it was Zach Wilson. He literally stared at the media for 10 seconds before answering, just like gave total silence. He'll still screw around. He definitely thinks he's smarter than everybody. Will you give me that?
I mean, they're head coaches. The ego knows no bounds. 855-212-4227. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on Sean Payton. We know we're on in Colorado, and he's a star everywhere. Do you think he's going to get time to really turn this Denver Broncos team around? What are they, second lowest in win total?
Third.
Was it Patriots first?
I think it's the Panthers.
Panthers.
It's a Panthers, Cardinals, Broncos, or Panthers, Patriots, Broncos. They're right around there. They're very low in Super Bowl odds too. If you think they're going to go all the way, you can make some big time money there.
We also have an update for you coming up on where you're going to be able to watch NFL and college football games coming up this fall. A little news about that. A little nugget. We'll get to it next. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. All right, Maggie and I are cosplaying as television executives here in the break. We're figuring out there's a report out about this new combination of media powerhouses, and it's going to affect watchers in a big way, possibly as early as this fall. Maggie, you want to break it down?
It's called Venue Sports, and it's basically ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers, which is TNT and TBS, all together in one bundle, conveniently priced for you at $42.99. So this would be for people who have cut the cable cord, but obviously if you're a sports fan and you still want to watch NFL and college football and NBA and hockey and Major League Baseball, you could buy this and you can get whatever they're going to show over the air. Now, this is not going to include like Sunday Ticket. So if you're somebody who likes to watch out-of-market NFL games, this is not going to help you in any way, but you'll get all the primetime games and whatever would be showing in the window, I guess, in your area. This is what I can't figure out about the Fox part of this. If you're getting NFL, what channel, like what game are you getting? Because multiple games are going on at Fox at each time. Fox shows multiple 1 o'clock games, multiple 4 o'clock games.
Well, I think the thing is, if you're a football fan or you're a sports fan, you were getting all this last year. You were probably either you had cable,
yep,
or you had to buy YouTube TV so you could see Monday Night Football, for example, which is obviously not on Sunday Ticket. Like, you had to see ESPN somewhere. So Venue is a way to save $20 a month by doing this instead of YouTube TV, right? Because, I mean, listen, if you're a sports fan, you have to have some way to get ESPN. You can't not have ESPN.
It'd be very hard. It would. I mean, it'd be very hard not to have Fox, too.
But you
want to watch the World Series.
Your World Series, soccer. You know, Fox has a lot of soccer now. Baseball. Yeah, there's a TNT. I don't quite get
college football. I mean, think about it. The Big Ten sold their new rights like the NFL.
Right.
They've sold to multiple different companies.
Right. Like, yeah, if you're a college football fan, you had to be getting Fox somewhere last year.
Definitely. What are you going to miss? Big news.
So, yeah, TNT, I'm not quite sure. Listen, as a huge Rizzoli and Isles fan, I'm paying for that, obviously, first and foremost.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Now that if they lose the NBA, which it seems like they are, not sure what the TNT is about. What, TNT is into wrestling? What's their thing now? They have something coming up?
AEW.
College football? Or like they're trying to get into some sport.
Into the college football playoff. That was
right, but
thought.
Those are really just... Yeah, those are ESPN is producing it for them, right?
And the ESPN was going to produce it, and then they were going to sell off some of the early games, I think.
They feel like, they have baseball, and they have baseball, right?
They do, but it's, what is it? Cela, what do they have? TBS has what, Wild Card and DS? They don't have any of the championship series.
Gosh.
Oh, I don't know if it's American or National League.
Or maybe they do, actually. Maybe Fox does. Maybe Fox has one championship series and TNT has the other. EJ, you're nodding your head about this.
They have one of the championship series. I think they might alternate. I don't think it's the same conference every year or league every year, but they definitely do half of the LCS matchups.
Same thing with the Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals for the NBA. Pine Needle is telling me in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, if you want to watch the show. Maggie, you get the game that's in your region, as they have set the boundaries for the rest of the games you'll not get if it's outside your area. So that's, if you get this bundle.
Oh, then you will get the local.
You get the local game.
Yeah.
Or whatever is whatever Fox is showing in that window.
To follow up what EJ said, last postseason, MLB on TBS was the exclusive home of the NLDS and NLCS. So there you go. Okay.
Well, they're getting rid of basketball, right? Are they long-term committed to baseball? I've never felt like that was such a strong bond. Turner and baseball.
It was always like a left turn where it's like, wait, now Ernie Johnson is now calling like the Phillies and the NLDS.
It's always felt weird.
Anderson, right?
You know, 2028, they have a deal. Turner Sports renewed its rights through 2028.
Got it.
But you're right. They just lost out on basketball. That was the big story that happened earlier this week.
They're definitely the weak link of this little venue package. Like, I don't think anybody's getting this for TNT. You know who big competitor? A lot of people I know get FUBU or FUBO.
Yep.
Because they have a great sports package. So that's what we're talking about.
Raising his hand.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends who love FUBO.
All right. Well, I mean, as far as national stuff, you're pretty well covered. They also have a lot of the conference channels. For me, locally in New York, it was big. They have all the MSGs. So Rangers, Knicks, Islanders, Devils. The only thing it was missing up until this year was the YES Network for the Yankees, which they added.
Oh.
And it had everything. But then all of a sudden, shortly after they added YES, SNY went away, which is the Mets channel. So locally in New York, for a very short period of time, they had everything you'd need.
Yeah.
But that's since gone away.
It's so, CeeLo, you're in the industry. Isn't it hard to be a streamer only and do sports? I mean,
it's
got to be more challenging.
There's ways around it. I mean, you'll share some things with somebody else, a family member here or there. Yeah. And look, I know they're cracking down on that with a lot of these streaming services, even, you know, ones that aren't live television, but, you know, series and programs and movies and all that. But I don't know. I've found a way so far. But yeah, it's getting to a point where even the streamers will get you in with a lower price, and then it increases over time. Before you know it, you're right back where you were with cable anyway.
Well, and I should mention that they did say this even for venue, this thing we're talking about that just got announced. It's going to be $42.99 a month. You get ESPN, you get Fox, and you get TNT. It starts at $42.99.
Yeah. Right.
And then that builds fine print that nobody reads that you just click on terms and conditions where you essentially give away your firstborn.
Yeah.
It's going to be cable in no time. Like, this is a clear, careful what you wish for. Like, we all didn't want to pay for channels we don't watch and ever want to go a la carte. We're going to end up right back where we were with paying for all the stuff you don't want and don't need because it's all been bundled. And you're going to end up getting paid out the wazoo anyway. And you want to know something that still chaps me after all this time? I still can't believe that I pay this money to these streaming services and I get ads.
Right.
It chaps me so hard. I'm watching Shogun or whatever, and I pay for Disney Plus, so I get it because that's technically Hulu or whatever.
Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Plus is the bundle there. Yeah.
And it comes to this exciting moment in the show, and then all of a sudden I'm watching a Swiffer ad, and I love you, Swiffer, but it really kills the vibe, you know? Yeah. When you're doing this prestige TV that plays like a movie.
You're spoiled.
I really can't have you going now to some kind of insurance commercial when the two main characters just got it on. Yeah. You know?
Prime is a killer. Wait, also, by the way, you have to buy, if you're a football fan, you also have to buy Peacock and Paramount, right? And I'm almost sure.
Well, in theory.
Paramount CBS, so you should be okay with that. Was there a Paramount?
Well, if you're a streamer, if you don't have cable television, how are you going to get CBS?
It's on the streaming service. So like for FUBO,
You can't just do venue. You have to get something in
the top. Right, because you don't have CBS.
But on FUBO, I get the local CBS.
Right, but if you have FUBO, you're not going to get venue because you get ESPN.
Correct. Yeah, right.
Right.
So it's just annoying.
They don't have everything.
I got to tell you, Peacock, there was a Saturday Night Live skit I wanted to show my kids. And I couldn't get it on the internet because I hid it into Peacock. So if I do go this way, then I get to see the old Saturday Live skits.
What was the sketch you want to show?
My daughter is in a play. She's 12. There's a sketch where they put on a high school play that they wrote their own script for and did their own productions. And they think they're about to be discovered. And it turns out to be a complete disaster. Yeah. It is the funniest sketch. The second funniest sketch. The funniest sketch is recently when they did that one where they're... Have you guys seen the sketch Saturday Night Live where they're explaining how they came up with the metric system.
Oh, yeah. Nate Bargatze, where they're all sitting around.
That is my favorite.
George Washington and Kenan Thompson keeps bringing back and bringing up, and don't you think we should have equality for black people? And they're like, the metric system.
Yes.
That's good. And they keep ignoring him.
You can't. It was so brilliant. I want to show my kids that. I can't. I think it's on Peacock. And then Paramount is the Yellowstone streamer, right? Basically, anyone who wants to see Yellowstone's got to get Paramount, although I'm seeing it creeping around in different places, too.
Can I just ask you, sorry about a tangent here. If you actually, someone asked you, what is the funniest SNL sketch of all time? And it could be a recurring character like, you know, the church lady or whatever. But if you just had, what is the funniest one? Because I think it's got to be, you know, certainly a matter of taste. I have one. Yeah, I have mine too. But what's yours?
I'd say Will Ferrell cowbell is the hardest I've ever laughed.
That's a good one.
It's definitely a number one seed.
I need more cowbell.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken makes it.
I got a fever.
That one jumps to mind. Right? I mean, there's so many. There's so many that's almost an impossible question. What's yours?
I think mine actually would be Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer. I think that is probably a lower seed. I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Listen, I'm just a caveman.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm just a caveman.
It is amazing.
It's so funny.
But there's so many.
And some of the stuff from the early days is tremendous.
I mean,
Rosanna Dana.
Going way back.
Bassomatic 76.
The shark. What was the...
Sharkgram or whatever.
Yeah,
Candygram.
Yeah. Candygram.
Yeah. Land shark. Yeah.
John Belushi
Eddie
with
Murphy.
The cheeseburger.
Yep.
Or would Eddie Murphy dress up as a white person and everybody hands him things for free?
I mean, Eddie Murphy doing Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. Yeah. This is how we answer the door in my neighborhood. Who the hell is it? Yeah. It's great. It's amazing.
Locally here on WFAN, the morning show down the hallway, just randomly, I forget even how it came up last week, we had a Sprockets reference.
I love Sprockets.
So we dropped that in there out of the blue.
This is Sprockets where we dance.
Yeah.
Wayne's World, I don't think it would be like the laugh out loud funniest. That would not, but it's iconic.
Oh, it was so funny. Church Lady, those things were
Church
Lady.
How about a tough one?
I like
Kristen Wiig when she plays that character where she has the short arms.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even understand it.
That's very good.
I just cry laughing every time I see it.
There's some good holiday ones too, like Alec Baldwin with the sweaty.
Go ahead, say it, CeeLo.
The sweaty balls. Radio.
We can't even tap this list. There's so many iconic ones.
I actually think the Kristen Wiig one, I don't even think you have the funniest Kristen Wiig. The one with the little hands is very funny.
There is another
one. When she gets abducted by the aliens and it's Ryan Gosling and they're talking.
No, that's
it's Kristen
Kate McKinnon, isn't it?
Oh, is it Kate McKinnon?
It plays sort of...
Where the two people are having this great experience getting abducted by aliens, and she's getting probed by all these little people.
That's my other favorite one. Kate McKinnon. I think it's Kate McKinnon. I'm not 100% sure, but the two of them are so darn
she's
funny.
She's smoking a cigarette.
I mean, how about Sandler, Farley? I mean, Chris Farley down by the river. Is there anything funnier than that? It's impossible to be funnier than Chris Farley.
Celebrity Jeopardy, Norm Macdonald.
Oh, yeah. I'll take Darryl the rapist Hammond for 400
doing,
because it's therapist.
Connery. Yeah. Then when Will Ferrell as the... Yeah, I mean...
Oh, my gosh, you're
right.
There
was another one with Will Ferrell. I forget if it was a holiday one, and I think Julianna Margulies was the guest host, and they're at the dinner table, right? And Will Ferrell is feeding his kid as if they're like birds.
It's so gross.
I mean, but it's just,
they're chewing the food and putting each other's mouths.
And I mean, Julianna Margulies trying to keep a straight face during that was just tremendous.
Anyway,
I think
there's
people,
the Justin Timberlake that I can't say on the air as well in the movie theater. The Blank in a Box.
That's
pretty good.
I mean, also the going on down to Omeletville. He did that a million times. That's not the funniest though.
I think people tend to take the one when they were 17 years old, whatever that was. Yeah. That was like, because that's a height. Oh, my gosh. So I don't know. Does SNL still as popular? I feel like it's still
pretty. No, can't be.
Because now you see it on Twitter on Sunday morning or something, and it's still pretty darn funny. I saw some funny stuff this year. I think it's doing okay. I'm just saying that.
They always thrive when they can have fun with the politics stuff, obviously.
Election years are good.
I mean, it's...
I know.
Amanda,
where's the
peak,
joke
but
star?
It's pretty close.
We're peak ridiculous.
Yeah,
here.
Amanda, you're obviously young. I bet you didn't grow up with as much SNL as we did.
I didn't grow up with SNL as much, but I like my favorite SNL skit is The Exorcist with Richard Pryor. Like that's
an old one,
like vividly. And then there's like a church lady with
Dana Carvey.
Yeah. So those ones I know, but now I don't feel like SNL is as popular now. Like a lot of people think it's like cringy and stuff. Yeah, and
I get it.
Not like Satan, sometimes.
But I think Bo and Yang is really funny.
He's very funny.
Martin Short, Ed Grimley.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of good stuff.
I'm looking at lists. How about when Chris Farley's a Chippendale?
Was that Patrick Swayze? Right?
I know how you feel about Chris Farley.
Just thinking about that, I'll wet my pants. All right. Chris Lopresti is here with headlines. Very important stuff. Let's get to it.
All right. So we're talking streaming stuff, and this is, I guess, somewhat related. So you'll recall about a month ago or so, you had the federal jury award the $4.7 billion in damages out of the whole NFL Sunday ticket.
Any day now, our check's coming.
Now.
Yeah.
Funny you say that. The judge who presided over this class action lawsuit filed by Sunday Ticket subscribers against the league says the jury did not follow his instructions in determining damages. So I guess the league, there's a post-trial motion asking that they rule for the league if they find that the plaintiffs did not prove their case. So if you're waiting on that check, might want to pump the brakes a little bit on that.
I don't like to fuel this kind of talk because I believe in our institutions. But did this judge suddenly get a suite at Jerry World or something?
Seems a little sketchy.
All of a sudden, now, one of those powerful entities, the entire country's got political connections from sea to shining sea. Suddenly, they're upset with the jury.
Yep. And this final line that the judge could order a new trial because the 8-person jury came up with its own calculations for damages. So that $4.7 billion might be going right out the window.
I love it. The judge of that new trial is going to be Stephen Ross. And the jury is going to be made up of the Maras, the Rooneys, a couple Walmart heirs.
The Chicago Bears super fans. The owner. I saw Mike Florio, our buddy at Pro Football Talk, said that he's read 3,000 pages of the decision, and there's another 1,000 left or something. They're burying us under legalese. We're not going to get our $33 check. This is terrible.
How dare they?
I am so mad. I honestly thought I was going to get... We're about to write a big check to those stupid Sunday Ticket.
I know. I'm just waiting for my renewal email to come through. The other thing is, it's like... it's just like as American as apple pie, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Just the rich, powerful people get their way.
Always.
There was, and I forgot to tell you, I think we were all away. There was a $60 rebate about a month ago on the total cost of the year, even if you already have it.
I missed that.
It was, you could get it for, I think, $4.09 instead of $4.69. I missed it too.
Missed the rebate.
I saw it in my email. I was a weekend. I'm like, I got to tell everyone. We got to get on, jump on this deal.
Well, you know what's going to happen. Again, the moment I click those terms and conditions, I basically signed up for this until I die.
Well, thank God.
And beyond
that. Thank God. I hate that week one. Oh, no. It's like the game's kicking off. It's not working. I got to call the helpline. The helpline has like a 7-hour wait. Has that ever happened to you with Sunday Ticket? Many times.
If we were to rank like the most panic-inducing moments as a sports fan that have nothing to do with the game, week one, not making sure that everything's all set up. Mm-hmm. I would say number two, and this might actually be number one, is forgetting your Yahoo login the day of the fantasy draft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So scary.
Or when you're filling out your NCAA tournament brackets and you got to figure that out.
Yeah, forget my CBS Sports password.
Absolutely. I thought you were going to say when there's like rain and the cable goes out, but that doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen anymore.
Cable. The dish. Satellite.
Yeah,
the dish goes out.
You say it doesn't happen anymore.
It happens here. Well, I was thinking it happens in this building.
Yeah. By the way, it must be pouring outside because we've got no TV.
Yeah, there you go.
Or when it's 11 o'clock Sunday morning, getting out of bed. It's like, oh, man, time to go set my fantasy lineup. London game!
Yes.
That also, I last year crapped out of our Survivor pool because I forgot.
Oh,
forgot
that's
specifically
just forgot to pick a game.
That's how you
Sean Marash was like, I've never been more disappointed in you. It's like, I just forgot.
Happens all the time.
And I just totally crashed out week two.
Or you're live betting a game. Does this ever happen to you guys? You're live betting a game and you're like, I really feel like the Lions are coming back here. And then you try and bet it. Then it spins. It's like, location not verified to make this bet. So you're like, oh no, I have to get on the Wi-Fi because like DraftKings and FanDuel need to verify your location. Yeah. By the time you get the bet in, the line has changed drastically because Jared Goff already has two touchdowns that you saw coming. That happens to me all the time, I feel like.
That is frustrating. Or you're watching, and of course you're behind by a few seconds at minimum, and you're thinking you got it all figured out, and those lines are ahead of you because they already know what happened in the stadium.
Right, they're on live, and we're 5 seconds behind. Yeah. I actually follow the live betting. I'm like, oh, I know what happened on third down because the line just changed.
Yeah, 100%. And if you stream, it's even longer, the delay. So yeah, just
all of a sudden you're pixelated.
We are such we're all so insane as football fans.
No,
we're just insane.
I think this is
people.
Relatable.
Yeah, no, I think it's relatable. I think we're just insane, and that's the best part about it.
In case you've been living under a rock or you need your memory refreshed, we had the viral crash and burn clip from Deshaun Foster and his press conference during Big Ten Media Days last week. I'll just run that back for you real quick, and then we'll tie it in.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A.
Hello?
It's us and USC. We, I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
Spot the lies,
CeeLo. Oh, boy. So that was rough.
Why did he start laughing?
I think because he realizes we're in L.A. was meant to be a joke, and it was crickets.
Oh, you think it was meant to be a joke?
I do, and then I think that's where he lost it. I think he got no reaction.
It never even occurred to me it could have been a joke.
Yeah, I think he was going for the laugh there, and when he got nothing, he panicked.
I did sense that he was trying to say, we're new to the Big Ten, and I'm making... Oh, so it was a joke. That makes more sense.
I think so.
Oh, so he didn't get the reaction he wanted.
Right,
and
then he looked to his left as he left, as if it was maybe their SID or something, or PR person or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh boy, that didn't go over so well. And it was like,
I didn't realize we were watching a man drown for a totally different reason.
I could be wrong. No, that was my sense. And then it was like, oh, then he just... deer in the headlights.
Just to bring it back to SNL for once.
Start tap dancing or something. Save us.
There's an SNL skit where Luke Priestley from 902. No, from 902. Oh, no. So the other guy, Luke Perry. Was doing an SNL monologue, and he's telling jokes. And all of a sudden, Ben Kenobi from Star Wars voice comes in his head. He goes, Luke, you're bombing.
That's funny.
It's a really famous skit. And my friends and I always say, when someone tells me about it, Luke, you're bombing now. So Deshaun Foster bombed.
He was bombing. And the reason I played that again, so first day of practice yesterday for UCLA, he shows up wearing a shirt with the outline of the state of California, and it says, we're in L.A., with the UCLA helmet depicting the location of the school within the state map. So he was having some fun with it, and they did ask him about it.
Did you just get that T-shirt printed up last few days, or was that...
Oh, this thing?
Yeah.
This is just a... it was just a shirt, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew where L.A. was at.
Just to clarify.
And where UCLA is, so...
That was basically it. Whose idea was it?
It was mine.
So he's playing into it, right? And you could tell there, I think from his response, it's kind of dripping with sarcasm a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think he's an acquired taste for humor.
Yeah.
Because if he actually did come up with that shirt, he's brilliant.
I definitely he's lying, want one. But yeah, it's a cool looking shirt. It looked good on him. So he's ready to go.
I saw a Q&A with him just after that press conference. He's a totally good talker. He's not a college coach by accident. He's not Nick Sirianni, by the way, who is continue to be kind of weird. I think Deshaun Foster is fairly smooth.
Speaking of opening press conferences, the Sirianni one is
all timer.
Yeah, I feel like Deshaun Foster is going
to
have.
You don't want to be mentioning fertilizer.
Opener with the plant and the growth and the flowers or whatever? No, the opener had to do with the... Oh, man.
He just lost his train of thought.
Right, and he was trying to talk about how, they've got this right system in place and you can understand it, and our players are going to be... They're going to pick it up quicker and play faster, but his delivery of it, he clearly, he went off script or thought, hey, I don't need a script because I can deliver this properly with no notes, and it was a total... crash and break. He sounded like a moron, honestly. Not that I've ever given an opening press conference without any notes or anything like that, but he was trying to convey, this is top of the line, and we know what we're doing.
Oh, we know. Perloff has it sewn into a pillow sits on his couch.
It was an analogy that made no sense, but again, it didn't bother me that much.
It was just funny.
But he's actually had a bunch of weird lines since then. See, I think Deshaun Foster is going to put this behind him.
Man, CeeLo, do you have that Olympic story that you updated us on about the triathlete? Did you tell us that?
No, Ryan, did you tell us this?
I'm sorry. You came in during the break. We'll get to that next. Sorry, I thought CeeLo had.
That's all right. Oh, this was what? The first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We have systems in place that are easier to learn. When we can learn our system and get good at our system, then our talent can take over. And then, right, then even less thinking equals talent take over. And just the delivery of it was just, it was so cringeworthy. I was like, oh my God, this guy's an NFL head coach, but he's proven us wrong to some extent, right? He's had some success.
Yeah.
He got a question at a press conference. What do you do around here? And it was like legit question.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Deshaun Foster is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm actually rooting for UCLA for the first time probably ever. I've never been. When's the last time I'm like, man, I hope UCLA football does well. Deshaun Foster.
He went for the laugh. He didn't get it, right?
Yeah.
Neutral media there at Big Ten Media Days wasn't exactly playing.
I think he summed it up all well. I'm just excited.
Sorry, yeah. I'm excited. Any questions?
Oh, man. Well, you know, maybe a couple rounds at the Laugh Factory in L.A. He can really sharpen that set to a tight five.
Right.
CeeLo, thank you so much. All right, we will get to this story. I'm sorry that Ryan had. Apologies. About the Olympic triathlon that went on yesterday in the E. coli-infested water of the Seine. How could you not stick around for this story? We'll get to it next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai's bold family of EVs that bring a new kind of energy to your journey. The Ioniq 5 and 5N, Ioniq 6, and Kona Electric, the most electric EV lineup. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, we've been all over this story. The water quality in the Seine in Paris disrupting the triathletes. They had to postpone the event for a day, but they ended up making things worse because it rained in Paris, which basically just washes all the filth from the streets into the river and makes the quality worse. Ryan, you have an update from some of the triathletes themselves.
So a Belgian triathlete swimmer, Jolien Vermeulen, was interviewed by a Flemish TV channel, VTM, and she, end quote, said, "While swimming under the bridge, I felt and saw things that we shouldn't think about too much." So I don't know what she's talking about.
What is it, 1864? What is happening in this river? Like,
the bubonic plague is happening. It is that. It's the Middle Ages there.
I've seen the Seine. Water. I don't remember the Seine being, it looks like every other major river in every city. Why is this so much worse?
Well, probably shouldn't be swimming in any of these major rivers. She said, "We'll know tomorrow if I'm sick or not. It doesn't taste like Coca-Cola or Sprite." She said she ingested a lot of the water during the race and was concerned of what it would do to her body. Blech.
All that for 24th place.
She came in 24th?
24th.
That just adds insult.
And then you have a week in the bathroom.
You're lucky if it's not a week in the hospital. Man.
Historically, just bad.
By the way, this is the most covered triathlon in Olympic history.
Without a doubt. By a power of 10.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be? I mean, you can't have people swimming in this disgusting water.
Yeah. It's I didn't even really know they did triathlon in the Olympics until
now.
It's not necessarily a TV sport, triathlon.
not usually. You're right about that.
Yeah, it's just hard. Like, it's hard to, it's not like gymnastics where there's one moment and you wait for the judge to get in. Like, yeah, it's just kind of a slow burn.
Yeah, you've been watching a lot of gymnastics.
No, yesterday was a big swimming night for me. Men's tennis. I didn't watch the gymnastics. I tuned in for the very end. I don't know if anyone saw this. The Chinese gymnast, the man was going all around against a Japanese gymnast.
Mm.
And it came down to a tenth of a fraction on the judgment, and they were waiting for it. And basically, they announced it. The entire Japanese team went bananas. The media went bananas. It was, Amanda, did you see this?
Yes, I did.
It could not have been closer.
Intense moment.
Okay, but here's the thing about the scoring. It still makes no sense to me.
I completely agree.
Well, the announcer was trying to explain it.
Yeah, they're doing a terrible
job. He's like, this is a tenth deduction.
NBC's doing well, but the scoring from gymnastics might as well be hieroglyphics. I feel like I can understand what's written on the side of the pyramids more than I can understand what someone got on the pommel hole.
Well, to be fair, this guy did have the deduction. He's like, his elbow was crooked here, and they're going to take off a tenth of a point, and I think this is going to be enough. What? His elbow was crooked? What are they talking about? But I can judge. I could be a diving judge.
What makes you qualified for that?
We all know how to judge a dive. We've all watched Olympics for years. Was there a splash? If there's no splash, he nailed it.
That's it? You're not looking at anything they did before then?
Yeah, I mean, everyone thinks like me. Oh, there's a splash. He must have missed it, or she must have missed it.
Okay, so tonight you got Hall of Fame game in Canton.
Yeah.
Or you have Olympics where you have the women's all around, individual all around tonight. So you get a little
big,
more Simone Biles in your life. If you're into that, what will you be watching?
What channel is the Hall of Fame game on? Is it ESPN? I think it is.
Sure.
Or is it Fox?
No, I think it's ESPN. I think Buck and Aikman are going to be there.
I will definitely watch the football game. And you know why? Just going to admit it.
I'm watching it
in the afternoon.
Oh, because you're watching the gymnastics. You can watch it live.
Yes. And
most people don't have that luxury. We have unique jobs.
Apparently, there's an explosion of afternoon ratings. Afternoon ratings have quadrupled anything from any other Olympics. They're getting double-digit millions, like 10 to 15 million watching gymnastics live. So I'm going to double-dip, do both. Is that cheating?
No, this is great, but a lot of people can't do that. They have to watch it on tape delay at night. But I thought you were saying because you're betting on the Hall of Fame game, and I was about to...
You can.
I know.
Andrew Bogusch was just saying, had an interesting point. He's like, it's been such a revelation, the afternoon ratings, that they're considering, like, the pro leagues are noticing and might start doing weekday afternoons. Like, they're so huge, the numbers are just, because everyone's working from home, aka nobody's working. So all of a sudden, everybody's watching these.
Not you, EJ. We know you're working.
I think, actually, Paris, the timing has been great. It's not like China was bad. Brazil wasn't perfect, as I recall. Like, things are good. Like, we can see at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if you want to. And also, everyone has their phones.
I think you're right. I think it's the work habits. I think that's what it is. More people are just home now, where you can be working from home and have a TV maybe in your office and still be watching while you're also, you know, like on a Zoom call or whatever.
Yeah.
Air quotes. Yeah, EJ.
I was going to say, I went to my physical therapy for the first time yesterday, and the front desk guy was more interested in whether Sudan was going to cover the spread than getting me set up for my first PT appointment.
Yeah.
So,
what was he watching?
So, same.
On his phone?
No, it was on the TV.
Oh, on the TV.
I guess they had Peacock hooked up to the TV in the PT studio. So once the game ended, he then switched it to a different Olympic sport. But he was totally invested. I'm like, wow, this guy does. I could write my name as LeBron James and he wouldn't even know.
Was this,
on this from the sheet.
Was it Shohei's interpreter doing the PT? Like, who is this guy?
No, Ipe's second job. No, this is not Shohei's interpreter, but a guy who was very invested in Team USA, whether or not they were gonna cover.
Like, and then also behind this door opens up an illegal poker game. You can have it's a full service physical therapy. You can go there and rehab your knee, and then you can, you know, get in some Texas Hold'em. That's more like a place Perloff would go, actually. Perloff was, for a while, when you were a younger man and didn't maybe have the money/insurance, we were going a little off book to some underground physical therapy.
It was an earlier age of the internet where the first physical therapist that came up on a Google search I went to, that was a huge mistake. when there's a homemade whirlpool, I actually...
With scabies in it?
I was picking up my daughter deep in Brooklyn the other day, and she sent me to an address right next door. There was like an old school physical therapy place, And the doors were open. You could see there were fans up on the wall because it wasn't air conditioned.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, there are bad PT places out there. I've heard horror stories. Because
I know it's all these kickball games that are getting people in trouble.
Yeah.
Like EJ. How about that?
I'm still, by the way, we don't talk enough about my grade 2 MCL sprain.
No, we talk plenty about it.
I don't think we talk enough about it, Maggie.
Now that we're in year 3, I don't know if I can continue to get the same energy.
Well, listen, if you want to talk about my grade 2 ankle sprain as well, like, I still don't know which is worse, a grade 1 or grade 3. No idea.
Yeah, and I don't either. It's like storms.
It's like first degree burn, second degree burn, third degree.
Category 1, category 5.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Category.
They're all bad.
I think 5 is bad, right? Or is 1?
Beats me.
I just saw twisters, and you don't want an F5 twister. Trust me. It's bad news, Maggie. An F1 might look cool. If you see an F5 coming down the highway, get the heck out of Topeka.
I'm already gone. The idea of the people who are the storm chasers, last profession I would ever try beyond triathlete.
Will you go see twisters? I just want to talk to you about it. I want to hear your thoughts on it.
No.
All right. Come on.
I've got a lot of pommel horse to watch. And now Hall of Fame game. Thank you, Ryan Botcher. Thank you, Amanda Vilas. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Chris Lopresti, Andrew Kaplan. What a great team we have here. Thank you to the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers. Finish out the week strong with you guys tomorrow.